I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, well, good afternoon, everybody. Nice to have you aboard with us. 2 minutes after 1 o'clock in the nation's capital and beyond on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. It is a Windbag Wednesday. And you know what that means. The wind is a blowing, even though the winds of change are definitely a reckoning. Elsewhere, of course. And the Commanders have made a big trade, as we first told you about yesterday, right as we were getting on the air, and then we had all the reaction, including your calls and expert commentary from Devin McCourty of Westwood One, three-time Super Bowl champion, and then Charles Davis of CBS and NFL Network in that first hour yesterday, and then we took all the calls, and now we've had 24 hours or so to digest it, and now we've heard from Adam Peters and Dan Quinn just in the last hour. And we have lots to chime in about, lots to react to, and lots to project and move forward. But without further ado, we say good afternoon to the YIC.
Good afternoon, Chris. How are you?
How are you?
I mean, am I on the right microphone?
You are. You are
sure
indeed.
I am?
That's the headsets, like you could hear in the headsets.
I can hear it, but you know how the studio gets.
This studio is a disaster. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It's like a lot of other things in the world.
Mm-hmm.
A complete disaster. You're on the right microphone. Just got to talk into it. You know, that helps.
Yeah, I feel.
That's better.
I don't know how I feel, man. I feel it's euphoria. I still don't feel as I can't believe this is my life.
When you say that,
no.
I know you are.
And I mean that, though.
You are not only the youngest in charge, but you are like over the top Charlie all the time, off the top rope. Like, they're 7-2, and they made a monster trade, and you should be happy and satisfied and optimistic, but. I don't understand the whole we've arrived and we've done everything that we need to do here.
Chris, let me just, and I'm glad that this is the way that you're deciding to go.
Mm.
You know, me and the analytics amigos have been in the basement all night.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Cooking up the numbers. This is why I can't believe.
Along with the committee, right?
Yeah, along with the committee. This is why I cannot believe this is my life.
Uh-huh.
I went to bed Monday night.
Yeah.
Saying, wow, you know, this group's 7-2, but, you know, the next 14 days, you're going to find out a lot about who this team is.
And you still are.
And you still are.
Actually, it's not even 14 days. It's like days. Literally 10 days.
The next 10 days, you're going to find out who you are exactly,
right.
Because I still think there are some questions.
Yes.
And the number one question, the big with this team, to me, has been their inability to stop the run, Chris Russell. Their inability to stop the run, to me, it literally takes them out of the conversation of being in that top tier in the NFC, because Green Bay, Detroit, Philadelphia,
correct.
They're going to run till their legs fall.
Correct.
Philadelphia ran the ball 47 times this past weekend.
Correct.
And Washington's issues with their run defense, to me, has a lot to do with the lack of trust they have on the outside, on the perimeter at corner.
Well,
let me give you a number before you cut me off.
No. I was going to say that's a good point, because I was going to say, well, directly they didn't solve the run issues,
but it's not about doing
indirectly they have done a lot of things to benefit.
You say indirectly, I think it directly helps.
Okay.
Washington, and you know all the numbers, second most runs in the NFL of 10 or more yards allowed, fourth worst in terms of yards per rush allowed. But here's the number that the analytics amigos and I crunched up overnight.
I love how you just use
You're worried about all of the wrong things. This is why I'm in the state that I'm in right now.
Oh, okay.
Because
you're in a state of elation.
Because
you're in a state of joy.
The Commanders play a light box, Chris.
Yes.
The fifth most in the NFL.
Yeah. Which means they play six in the box.
Six or fewer defenders in the box.
Because they have to play more on the back end in a passing league.
He doesn't want to hear my brilliant explanation of it. Because I'm trying to tell you everything that you're saying.
I mean,
but I'm saying it in a manner that you don't like, because I think this directly influences the next 10 days. It may not influence Sunday. I don't think you need it to influence Sunday. But against Philadelphia, this is going to matter. So they're playing a light box, fifth most in the NFL, because they don't trust their guys on the perimeter. Meaning, they're playing two high safeties a bunch of the time. You know what adding Marshon Lattimore does? It drops Jeremy Chinn down to the box. It kicks your better nickel run defender, Mikey Samristil, still inside.
Yes.
So their run defense better get better. If it doesn't, then I'm going to be looking at Daron Payne, Phil Mathis, Johnny Newton, Frankie Louvu, and Bobby Wagner. But here's the other thing. This may not be some type of seamless transition where you see the run defense improve immediately, because what dropping Jeremy Chinn down does, it changes the run fits. And we know the issues that they've had with their run fits throughout the first 9 weeks of the season. So I don't know if it corrects itself immediately, but clearly this is a move that helps you in a multitude of different ways. I think the number one area it helps you is with the run defense, in my opinion, at least.
Well, it's not the number one area.
I think it's number one. We can argue about it, we can debate, say what you want.
When you add Marshon Lattimore, a four-time Pro Bowl corner, the number one area it impacts is pass coverage and the ability to play more man defense, which then allows you, again, to your point, to drop Jeremy Chinn in closer into the box and do different things in terms of your overall structure. Make no mistake about it. They didn't get Marshon Lattimore and trade what they did to single-handedly snap a finger and improve the run defense or make the run defense not a problem. That's not the mentality you take.
But Chris,
the benefit of getting Marshon Lattimore is you improve your pass coverage on the back end. It allows you to play more man. It allows you to move Benjamin St. Juice to theoretically the number two spot and Mikey Sanders still back inside. And then it allows you to drop Jeremy Chinn instead of playing more too deep. To your point, you can play more single high. You can drop Jeremy Chinn more into the box. You can get better run fits if the Bulls on the front line are actually doing their job, which at times on Sunday and at times, many times throughout the year, they have not been able to do. So I don't know if Marshon Lattimore by himself, automatically you just snap the finger and say, well, the number one reason why we're going after him is because we need help stopping the run. I don't think that's the mentality. Maybe I'm missing something. It's coverage first, which then alters
impacts
the run defense. But I know you don't agree with me, but I'm telling you that's the reality.
So your reality is the right reality.
Well,
right?
Of course, but that's also common sense.
You don't acquire
a corner, Chris, to stop.
It's not about that being the reason they did it, Chris. I'm telling you where it impacts you the most.
Saying it impacts the most in run defense. I'm saying that A, that's not why they did it. B, that's not where it impacts you the most.
That was not one reason that they made this trade.
Okay,
first of all,
fine.
So get that out of your line of thinking.
But again, you would.
It's going to have a significant impact on the run defense. I think that
I agree.
Is where X's and O's wise, it changes things for you the
I
most.
Agree. I wouldn't say, I don't know if it's going to have a significant impact. It will have an impact.
From the numbers game that I just told you.
Okay.
They're going to be. Go look at their numbers when they play a heavy box against the run.
I understand all
they're
that.
They're markedly better.
I understand all
adding
that.
Adding a.
I mean, that's logical.
On the perimeter allows you to play eight in the box. What's their biggest flaw
sure.
on this football team, Chris?
Absolutely. What's run stopping, flaw? Gaps, all of that.
Okay, then. So adding a premier corner like this.
Yes, but what you're not getting is in a passing league.
Are they
still
having problems stopping the pass?
Yeah,
they're
at times.
Top five in the NFL, Chris.
At times they are. Because everybody's been able to run.
Come on, Chris.
You don't think the Giants exploited that in the first half on Sunday? That they could just run the ball and didn't have to pass the football? Except for three times? You don't think that?
If you're trying to equate their pass defense struggles and say they're remotely similar to their run defense struggles.
Let me ask you this.
Let me ask you this,
youngest and smartest in charge. When people said, cornerback is their number one need. And I think you agreed with that, right? Do you actually think that anybody was like, yeah, cornerback, if we bring in a cornerback, the number one thing it's going to do is help the run defense? No. They were thinking, oh my goodness, Benjamin St. Juste is not a number one. Noah Igbinoghene is a better backup than he is a starting slot corner. Mikey Sandra still's a better slot corner than an outside corner. And you got A.J. Brown coming up.
We can go back and forth.
And C.D. Lamb.
A.J. Brown's not going to matter if you can't stop the run, Chris.
He's going to matter, period. They stopped the run in the first half of the Baltimore game and got killed by Zay Flowers.
You see how many targets A.J. Brown had last week?
Yeah.
How many targets
He's still getting back on the bike.
They ran the ball 47 times.
I understand that.
That's who they are.
They don't run the ball 47 times a game.
They ran it 47 times.
One game.
You don't think that will be their game plan against a Washington run defense that's given up
the point being is you didn't have a chance if you were going to load up 8 and 9 in the box to try and stop Saquon Barkley and then roll out Ben St. Juste and Michael Davis or Noah Igbinoghene against those receivers.
Chris, I'm not even being funny or facetious here. I'm trying to temper.
I'm not.
Based off the coaching that I'm receiving from the powers that be, I'm trying to temper myself back.
Okay.
You literally just contradicted the hell out of yourself.
How did I contradict myself?
They can't stack 8 in the box against Saquon in the Giants with the corners they had before. They're now able to do it because they have Marshon Lattimore. What don't you get about that?
They can do whatever they want to do.
They're not going to have success, Chris.
Did they not put 8 in the box against the Baltimore Ravens?
And then in the second half, what'd they do? They took the 8th man out of the box.
Exactly.
They got the
because they were getting killed by Zay Flowers.
They didn't have the flexibility to do so.
The point being
they didn't have good enough corners.
The point being is Marshon Lattimore helps you in coverage.
Chris, I said
and
you in a multitude
helps
of
you
ways, but
again,
me.
But you said the only thing was the run defense.
Chris, I would love
you said that was priority number one.
I would love to use the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back.
Please.
And I did not say only. I said the biggest area he helps you in is the run defense because
all right,
of
maybe
what you
said
just
the
listed.
Biggest area. Okay.
Because of what you just listed.
And I would tell you that a 4-time Pro Bowl corner is going to allow you to do a lot of different things.
Of course.
I think we're on the same page.
Of course it allows
but that's
you to do
not
a lot of
the number
things.
One reason why he
Chris,
was brought
their
here.
Their biggest problem right now is stopping the run. It's
I understand
not because
that.
Of the personnel that they have in the front
their
seven.
Their biggest problem also is they don't have a lockdown corner, and now they do. If he's healthy.
How is not having a lockdown corner hurt them this year? I'm asking you.
You don't think it has?
I think their inability to stop the run has hurt them.
Have they played tremendous wide receivers like they have coming up?
We've seen Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, and they got blowtorched.
We've seen Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right, and they gave up a 4th and goal for a touchdown.
We saw Malik Nabers.
And they gave up 14,000 catches.
We saw Amari Cooper.
Right.
Every team across the league has a bona fide
but my point being is for you to sit here and say the pass defense has not been a problem. It hasn't been the same problem as the run defense.
Chris,
I'll grant you that.
No, I'm not going to sit here and say that their pass defense has been some type of massive issue, Chris. I can't say
do
that.
You honestly
I
think,
can't say that.
Do you honestly think when people said corner, is their number one problem that people were thinking, corner.
I don't get, but that's what you miss with me. I don't care what anybody else thinks.
Okay. Well,
I'm telling you.
Yeah, I know that about you. I know that about you.
I'm telling you from a football standpoint, the biggest area that gets improved right away because of what you can now do personnel-wise,
I don't
Chris,
disagree with you on that,
defense.
But to say that a 4-time Pro Bowl corner is largely or primarily or mostly being brought in to fix the run defense is not accurate, in my opinion. They had matchup issues on the back end. It's a passing league still. It's more of a running league this year. They had matchup issues on the back end. You do not bring in Marshon Lattimore solely and specifically
Chris,
or
no
primarily to stop the run.
You're like choosing to pick a rock fight over something that's completely irrelevant.
I mean, that's your point, isn't it?
No, my point is this is where I think the team improves the most with him coming in. That's all this was about. I think the run defense will be the biggest beneficiary of Marshon Lattimore because they have not had these glaring struggles in the pass game. Go look at the amount of explosive pass plays they give up per game compared to explosive runs. It's night and day. They're playing the pass as good as anybody in football.
They're playing the pass fine. It's not like
Chris,
they're playing it
fine. They're the fifth best pass defense in terms
of
yards.
You just look at numbers. You know that
this is not just a raw numbers league.
Have they gone against CeeDee Lamb? Have they gone against AJ Brown? Have they gone against Devontae Smith?
Okay, Chris. Now you're going to try and ding them for who they played.
I'm just asking.
You can't have your.
I mean, they've gone against Ja'Marr Chase. Got lit up like a Christmas tree. Went against Zay Flowers in the first half. Got lit up like a Christmas tree. Went against Malik Nabers.
You're missing the point.
In the entire week two, got lit up like a Christmas tree. In the second half, on Sunday, got lit up like a Christmas tree. You think Benjamin St. Juice is a number one corner? Come on now.
Missing the point. You're clearly missing the point.
I
am trying to say that obviously a four-year-old knows the benefits that Marshawn Lattimore is going to bring to the defense. Clearly, that it's not just one hand full. You see what I'm saying? You got five fingers, right, Chris? That means there's more than five things he helps you with.
Yeah.
From my vantage point,
yeah.
When you look at the team's biggest issue, I think he directly helps that. And I think that, to me, alleviates some of my concerns that I have about the future opponents.
I think he helps that. I'd like to see it in action first.
Because he alone is not going to stop the run. You're making me smack
just his addition is not going
is
to directly
did
stop
I
the
not
run.
Explain it with you, numbers.
You explained it by a bunch of fancy stats
it's
that nobody understands.
It's about putting an extra guy.
And
in
it
the
means
box,
nothing if De'Ron this Payne gets shoved or fooled on a read option quarterback keeper like he did for 24 yards the other day.
It's a numbers game, Chris. You add an extra man in the box, there's a free runner.
Right, fine.
There's going to be a free runner that's got to make plays now.
You could play the numbers game all you want. That doesn't still prevent you from missing tackles and taking bad fits and bad angles.
Chris, that hasn't been their problem with the run defense here the last couple of weeks. It's not about missing tackles. Guys are getting
blown off the ball. Not about missing tackles, but bad fits and bad angles? Yeah,
a ton. Off the ball, and guards and centers are able to climb up to linebackers because they don't have enough numbers in the box. They don't.
So by dropping an eighth guy in the box,
there's going to be a
guards and center. Guards and centers are not going to be able to double team the interior.
They're double teaming both defensive tackles, not just one.
Right.
Right. So okay, it's hard to explain without the visual of a football field. Not saying that it's not going to stop them from double teaming. You're not going to have the same success getting to the linebackers.
I would agree with
there's
that.
There's an extra guy down there.
I would
someone's
going to
be free.
That's I would
all
agree
I'm
with that.
Saying. I don't know why you're choosing to pick a fight over this.
It's because
all I'm saying
because you have one vision in mind.
No, I don't have one vision.
And
I'm just telling you my opinion. Sorry that I do the job great and I have a strong opinion about it. No. That's what my opinion is.
But your opinion again, when you say the primary thing that Marshawn Lattimore brings is run stopping ability.
This is not a beast. This is not an eighth grade test.
Well, you're the
There's
one that said
one right
you're
answer,
the one that said the primary thing that he improves is the run defense.
In my opinion,
okay,
Chris,
and I'm telling you, and I'm telling you in my
that's
opinion that you're wrong.
There's no
he's
wrong
brought
answer,
in to
though,
be
Chris.
A shutdown corner, which they did not have. Period. And I don't understand why you can't see that. You can throw go to the basement. Take Grant with you. Take freaking Aaron Schatz and your stupid DVOA and Al Goldie with you, and you guys can have a big old. I can't say what I want to say on the radio. You can get in a circle, and you know what you can do with the analytics. They did not have anyone that could match up. Anyone that could match up with George Pickens, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith.
Chris, that their inability to match up with opposing number ones hasn't torched them yet to this point.
It hasn't torched them yet, except for in Cincinnati, except for in week two against Malik Nabers and the Giants, except for week four on the first drive against Marvin Harrison Jr. And if the quarterback was any better, which he's not, it would have torched them more. Except for all of those spots.
That is not bigger issue is their inability to stop the run, though.
Why
Chris?
Do you think people thought corner was such a weakness? Because of run fits? No.
Yeah. Okay.
Because they didn't have a number one corner.
See, you're looking at football as if it's one thing. You are the king of nuanced conversations. You literally are the king of nuance. And I'm telling you, where this helps them in a outside of the box way, which maybe not a lot of people are thinking about because maybe no one's as smart as I am.
Oh, yeah. How about that? Right.
But you can't sit here and tell me that his addition does not have a direct impact. A direct impact. Direct, however the hell you want to say it. You cannot tell me his addition doesn't have a direct impact on the worst issue of this football team. Which brings us to this conversation, Chris. This is what I really would like to get into with you.
Yes.
Because I heard your snarky comments. You all are acting like because you signed one, you traded for one guy, you're going to win the Super Bowl. What I think this move has the potential to do.
I didn't say that.
I think this move has the potential to elevate them into the legit contender status in the conference.
They were already there. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. We'll take a timeout.
If you think that they were there, giving up 5 yards a pop and 41 runs of 10 or more
we're
yards,
we're going to ask you, once we get out of Mommy's basement, we're going to ask you if Marshawn Lattimore helps the pass coverage or the run cover or the run-stopping ability more, one or the other, and does this elevate the Washington Commanders over the Detroit Lions as the best team in the NFC. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back.
Seriously,
125 on the Team 980.
This is the loudest I'm going to get the rest of the show. I feel like I might have a brain aneurysm. God forbid.
Just calm down. It's a sports discussion. There's no reason to get that amped up. I'm not. I'm laughing. I'm smiling. See,
I mean,
when you're 51 and you got 1 foot in the ground already,
I just know you were like turning my back with the conversation, and like I know what you're doing.
No, I know what you're doing.
You're taking
the one thing that's most important in your mind and speaking as gospel for everything and everyone. And I'm telling you that there is multiple things at play here.
I've never denied that.
And I would even tell you your premise that stopping the run better is primarily the benefit of acquiring Marshawn Lattimore, I think
it's one of the top
misguided.
I think it's top two.
I think it's up there.
It's top two.
I just don't think it's number one. Number one is, hey man, AJ Brown, that guy is a badass. George Pickens, whatever you want to say about him, he's pretty good. CD Lamb, whatever you want to say about the Dallas Cowboys, really good. We need help against number one receivers, especially number one receivers that move all over the field. Period. So then the fringe benefits come. So what we're arguing about, what we're discussing, and maybe it's nuanced football, who knows, is whether or not Marshawn Lattimore improves the pass coverage and the ability to match up man-to-man, one-on-one with top-flight receivers better than the Commanders have been able to do. Or, to Nell's point, whether it first and primarily improves the run defense. That is essentially what you're saying.
So here, let me rephrase it because I've gotten the chance to think during the break. I would like to rephrase what I'm saying.
With your brain having an aneurysm?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that is the area that will, in turn, end up benefiting the most.
See, that is where I'm at. Okay, I think that is a better perspective. Like, you're saying the most noticeable and immediate impact
will be
is
there.
Run defense because it allows them to bring
us in. I've been trying to
all
say.
All right, so maybe I was needling you a little bit. Maybe I was kind of digging at you a little. But you understand my point is when you bring in a Pro Bowl man-to-man corner.
Obviously, your first thought is going to be, yeah, you can play more man-to-man.
So that was my point.
I've never denied that.
Right, but I don't think I'm wrong
for believing that. You're not. I never said you were wrong.
Well, you essentially said that my point made no sense.
Chris, you hear what you wanted. Yeah, for someone that accuses me of hearing what I want to hear, you hear what you want to hear.
No, you say,
all
you,
I was saying is that, yeah, I think the pass defense improves, obviously, but it's not like there was some massive glaring weakness there.
There isn't a massive glaring weakness except when you go against studs.
It's certain matchups, just like with
any team,
though.
You would agree with me on that. Right, but you would agree with me that they didn't have
flaws,
correct, but they didn't have the firepower to match up with what's ahead, right? They haven't done a great job. Not their fault. Not Benjamin St. Juice's fault. Not who's the defensive backs coach that you love, Jason Simmons that you thought was going to change everything.
Are they not playing a lot better?
They're playing
under
better,
Jason Simmons,
but I'm just saying.
And Joe Witt?
But you thought was going to change everything.
See, Brian Mitchell said something last week that I thought made a ton of sense.
Oh.
For years,
that's nice of you to compliment
us as a fan base. Us as a fan base, we have this weird. You too. You do it too. Mm-hmm. We try and discredit the impact that coaching has on players. We haven't seen that because we've had the damn worst coaching staff in the league the past 5 years. We actually have legit coaches with legit track records of improving guys in player development. And guys are getting better. Benjamin St. Juice is playing a night and day better than he played last year. I thought Emmanuel Forbes throughout camp was playing better than what he had showed last year. I think that's a result of the coaching. I think they're well coached at every position.
I don't disagree with you at all in any way, shape, or form that this staff is clearly better than the one that was previously here.
I said that to critique a certain area, which I think may be based off of coaching. So okay. I was putting them up to put them down.
All right. Well, why don't we get into that on the other side, and we'll get into the calls because we got a bunch of guys lined up, some of the usual suspects, but I think some different voices, which we will try and feature. Again, here's the question out of the chute. Marshawn Lattimore is in the fold. We do not know whether he's going to play this Sunday or not. We will see. He's not practicing today. We will get to all of that. But is Marshawn Lattimore's arrival, is it primarily or first focused on shutting out number one receivers or improving the run defense?
The way you're even putting it out there is contradicting what I said, bro. The way you should be asking the question is this. What area do you think is impacted the most by Marshawn Lattimore's addition?
The run defense or the pass defense?
Or the pass defense.
Which is exactly what I just said.
Chris, is that how he said it? That's not how you said it.
I said
that's not how you said it, Chris.
I said
it's not. That's how I'm gonna call you out when you try to pull wool over
people's
eyes.
Does it improve the run defense or the pass defense?
I know you view,
versus number
because
one
you're
receivers.
An industry plan. I know you view our loyal listening audience as a low IQ society, but I promise you they're smart enough to hear the question laid out the way it's supposed to.
Let them chew on it however they want.
It's a two-parter for you because it's the only nuance. Where you come to get nuance?
I know.
Two-parter for you. Where does it...
You can't even say this straight. I'm looking at you, and you can't even say it with a straight face.
Where does the Marshawn Lattimore addition... Does it propel them over the Detroit Lions? Does it propel you into that upper echelon, or does it change...
They're already in the upper echelon.
And that's what we disagree...
Okay.
There are two tiers.
Let's get to that on the other side.
When we get back, I'll tell you there are two tiers in the NFC.
301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. Let's get a trending alert and then to your phone calls, and we'll set all that other stuff up when we return on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Yeah. Wow, this is a fitting song for this show, man, because, yeah, as Commander Jigga just said, how come you all can't compromise and say Lattimore's acquisition helps both the pass coverage and the run defense? As a matter of fact, I think we both have. I've said that more, I believe, than Linnell, whose primary focus is, hey, this acquisition most improves and most quickly improves the run defense. And I said, well, wait a second, it gives you what you didn't have. And yes, the tangible effect is it allows you to drop an extra guy in the box and be more aggressive in stopping the run, better run fits, all that stuff. So maybe a matter of semantics, certainly some football X's and O's. I don't think either one of us are wrong, but at least I've been around football for 40 years, whatever it is. I've never, you know, like when the San Francisco 49ers acquired Deion Sanders in the middle of his prime, they did not acquire Deion Sanders to stop the run. They acquired him because he was the best corner and because he took away half the field. You know, I'm not saying Marshawn Lattimore is Deion Sanders. Obviously, they're different players. I get that. But my point being is you acquire a top corner primarily to give you an answer to what you don't have,
Chris,
which
not,
is a lockdown corner against A.J. Brown, yes, C.D. Lamb, George Pickens, and so on.
I think we can agree on that. I just continue to believe that the area where you will see his impact felt the most right away is their ability to play more heavy boxes.
All right, that's fine. That's good. Now, we also have, surprise, another disagreement. They are the number two seed in the NFC, correct?
They're the number one. They're the number two seed in the NFC, yes. But in terms of where they stand in the conference's hierarchy and the NFL's hierarchy, I think we got to be objective about this. Before yesterday's deal, right? And now, listen to what I'm saying as before the deal and after the deal. Before the deal, there are three legit Super Bowl contenders in that conference.
In the NFC.
In the NFC.
Okay.
Detroit,
the Lions,
Green Bay, and Philadelphia the three teams that I would say are head and shoulders above the rest of the conference.
Yeah, right now I don't view Green Bay in that regard, but okay.
I still do, despite their poor performance in a monsoon against.
They've had a couple of poor performances at home.
They have.
But elite teams.
They have, but the quarterback, ultimately, I am going to bet on to figure it out. He has been the crux of the problems and turning the football over. That's not something that I think is going to be a thing because
maybe
of who
not.
He is. Their defense is the best in the NFC and maybe the best in the National Football.
Right, and it's all because they fired Joe Barry. I mean, let's face it, Joe Barry was an incompetent boot.
It's not because they fired Joe Barry, but the young cat that they brought in from Boston College is getting people in the right position. They're using Xavier McKinney like a beast. I think he leads the league.
I mean, it would have been great if they would have acquired Xavier McKinney or somebody like him for the previous defensive staff.
I know you just want to sit here and play tonsil hockey like you like to say with Joe Barry. This is not about Joe Barry. It's about the Packers being the second best team in the NFC.
All right.
Know if they're the second best. I think Philly has that distinction. I think Washington's in the NFC's B tier with Atlanta. I actually wrote this down.
So Philadelphia 6-2. This is interesting, right? Philadelphia 6-2. 3 weeks ago, nobody would have said.
I was
granted,
saying,
3 weeks,
been in my
a lot
six pack. Have you not been listening to the six pack? They've been in the six pack all year.
No.
Yeah, I know.
3 weeks ago, they were a mess. They could barely beat Cleveland. Nick Sirianni's yelling at there's all these rumors about Sirianni and Jalen Hurts hating each
other.
I'll
tell you what the difference is with Philly. They figured out who the hell they are, and they've stopped trying to be cute. See, when you bring in Kellen Moore as your offensive coordinator, you have a propensity to get cute. They are a run-first, punch-you-in-the-damn-mouth football team.
They should
be. And
they've
acted that way the past couple of weeks.
They should
be. They have.
That's the easiest way to win games, as I've always contended.
But that's what their personnel says they're best at.
But their personnel was great at throwing the football in years past.
They don't have a quarterback that's going to
That's part of the problem.
They have a mid-tier quarterback.
Okay, that's part of the problem. But they're paying them top-tier money.
46 times.
Yeah, but you can't. But you know,
can do that.
I don't
it
think
is sustainable.
You can do
Chris.
That every game.
See, we're just so far removed from early 2000s football that y'all think it's not possible to throw it back. It is possible.
So you think Saquon Barkley and the Eagles could line up and run it? Let's just call it 45 times a game.
Yes.
Every game and have the same level of success.
I believe so. With that offensive line,
I mean, I disagree with that. I mean, I'm not saying that they
won't.
The best
tackle tandem in that we've seen in a long time in the NFL.
Isn't Mailata
on IR right now?
Still banged up. Okay,
right, but they did that without George Mailata.
Yeah.
Landon Dickerson is arguably the best damn guard in the sport right now. Cam Jurgens is playing great.
Yeah.
Lane Johnson's still Lane Johnson. Tyler Steen off the bench that can come start for teams.
Right.
They've
had a great offensive
They are
run.
A big, bad, physical group up front. And when you add arguably the most talented back in the sport to the equation, you see why they're able to run the ball the way that they are. That is what their formula should have been from the jump street. But Kellen Moore, conflict of interest, he wants to be a head coach. How do you be a head coach? Show that you can work with a quarterback and get him to throw the ball. That's what Eric Bieniemy tried to do last year, right? Yeah, they fell
recklessly.
Victim to that. Recklessly. They fell victim to that.
I don't know if Philadelphia was as anywhere near as reckless as Bieniemy was. I mean, you're dealing with way different personnel.
They lost 33-16 to Tampa. I go back to that game. They got down and got away from the run.
Well, they got, but they were down 21-0 in a flash.
Yeah, but
again, teams don't run the ball much when you're down to. Look at the Giants the other day. Okay, just in our game, the Giants got down 21-7 near the end of the first half, and they stopped running the football, which they had done all of the entire first half. They carved them up. I talked to Bobby Wagner after the game. Bobby Wagner, I said, hey, man, what do you put a finger on? He goes, they hit us in so many different ways, we had no idea what was coming. It was like boom, 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 boom. And as soon as they got down 21-7, they said, hey, you know what? We can't really run the football like we would like to. We're going to have to open it up. We're going to have to start attacking Benjamin St. Juice. We're going to have to start using Malik Nabers. We're going to have to use Theo Johnson. We're going to have to use Darius Slayton. We're going to have to do these things.
Am I wrong? Bottom line is back to the original point. I didn't think before the deal that Washington was in the same category as the Philadelphia, Detroit, and Green Bay. They're not.
Okay, so I'll give you Philadelphia, but I'll take Green Bay out of that. Because I need to ultimately see it on the field, and I have not seen
Chris,
it from this Green Bay
Chris,
offense.
But you haven't seen it from this Green Bay offense against us? No,
well,
you haven't.
Well, that's fair.
You think we can stop Josh Jacobs, Chris?
That's fair.
Oh, come on, man.
But I haven't had that opportunity.
Chris,
I'm talking about big picture.
Chris, use your common sense.
You haven't seen it against Philadelphia against us, right?
You got to use your common sense, though, Chris. You think that we're going to be able to stop Josh Jacobs in their rushing attack?
I'm saying the Green Bay offense.
I'm asking you a question that you have yet to answer. Do you think the Commanders can stop Green Bay's rushing attack?
I think they can somewhat limit it.
Why?
Because I don't think they're as bad as you think they are.
It's not that I'm saying they're bad.
They're bad in spots.
The eye test. Hold on, Chris. The eye test says they're bad at stopping the run. Mm. The numbers say they're bad at stopping the run. Mm. They say they're bad at stopping the run.
Yeah.
So you think they can come? You think they have a shot to stop one of the best rushing offenses in football in Green Bay? You think they have a
no? You don't stop anybody. Control.
My point is this.
Yeah. Like they controlled Derrick Henry for the most part. They did.
How'd they control Derrick Henry? What allowed them to control Derrick Henry?
By dropping an extra guy in the box.
Okay, then.
Okay.
You see where my point is now?
I've seen your point all along.
Okay, then. So I'm saying with that addition of Marshawn Lattimore, I'm willing to look at their run defense differently. They still haven't showed it yet. It may not work at all. The Jeremy Chinn may get dropped into the box and miss a bunch of tackles. That could be the result of it. I'm saying where they are now with Marshawn Lattimore and even before Marshawn Lattimore, I think there's a difference between Green Bay, Philly, and Detroit.
Okay. And I'm willing to acquiesce again. Detroit, clearly. Philadelphia, recently. And I disagree with you on Green Bay. That's not to say Green Bay won't get better. That's not to say that Green Bay won't have success.
Like, you know,
that's not to say
Green Bay does, though. They are a run-first team, Chris.
Fine. And they should be, because they've still got a young quarterback, right? And you should be a run-first team in the NFL if you want to be smart.
I just look up and down their 53 and say that they're clearly more talented. I looked up and down Detroit's 53 and say they're clearly more talented. I look up and down Philly's 53 and say they're clearly more talented.
So
what I do like that Washington has, and where they clearly have the advantage, mm-hmm. in my opinion, I don't know if they'll be able to create enough explosive plays to where it matters ultimately. But Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the conference.
Well, yeah.
So that is a huge advantage that Washington has.
Yes.
I just wonder.
But that's not the only advantage.
Is going to help them.
I don't think that's the only advantage, because I do think ultimately this defense, even though it has not been good in a lot of spots, it has been timely in terms of making significant, I think, game stalling or game changing.
Was it timely
plays
when they gave up that massive DeAndre Swift run against Chicago? Was that good timing?
After pitching a shutout for 3.5 quarters?
I'm asking, what's the timing of it? Good. Chris, I care less what you do for the first three quarters. It's about stopping the other team from scoring more points than you. Point blank.
And they did.
And they gave up.
They did that.
They gave
did
up
they not?
Massive chunk plays back to back weeks.
Yeah.
In crunch time.
Yeah. They're not a great defense. Nobody's saying that they're a great defense.
So that's why they're not in that category of Detroit, Green Bay and Philadelphia.
Is Detroit a great defense?
They're better than Washington is defensively, even without Agent Aiden Hutchinson.
Maybe they are. I don't know.
They are.
I mean, it helps when you can run the ball like they have.
Can we
keep
run
their
the ball
defense
too?
Off the field?
We run the ball as well as anybody.
We run
Chris.
The ball well. We don't run it like Detroit.
Come on, Chris.
I mean, just saying.
You're being foolish right now.
I mean, okay, go get the numbers. You're a big numbers guy.
You're being foolish.
I use my eyes.
The third best run offense in the NFL. Detroit runs it better?
Don't they?
No.
Detroit's not number one.
In running offense? No, it's Baltimore. It's Baltimore, Philadelphia, Washington, okay. San Francisco, Green Bay, Detroit.
All right. Okay. Splitting hairs there. I mean, 3-6? I mean, you're going to tell me Detroit doesn't run the ball well?
I'm not saying they don't run the ball well, but I'm saying you're saying, Detroit's defense is only good because they can run the ball. Washington can run the ball, and our defense stinks.
I'm saying primarily their defense benefits from their offense being so good.
So does our defense, Chris. Well, what are you talking about?
It really doesn't.
Yes, it does.
It really doesn't.
You're not being serious. It's the same thing, Chris. We run the ball well. It keeps the opposing offense off the field. Detroit runs the ball well. It keeps the opposing offense off the field. How is that any different?
No, normally, yes. But what I'm saying is, normally. Now, maybe it's because I watch Washington's defense more. Washington's defense, I believe, is asked to do more. Than what I've seen being asked to do. Because Detroit is in a different stratosphere.
When they've simplified their scheme to the point that you can go in and understand it with a day or two of practice, they're making things difficult. I would argue the complete opposite. They have simplified their defense to dummy level. It's vanilla. They don't do a whole lot in terms of disguising coverages. They don't do a whole lot. The most exotic they get is what their pressure looks.
The Commanders, you're talking about.
Yes, that's the most. So it's pretty simple.
But that's
and
also
vanilla.
But that's also because they never had a lockdown corner either. Right? I mean, that guy allows you to do, again,
that's
more.
That's the point.
Yes.
That's
but he allows you to do more coverage-wise, too.
Yes.
And play better as
a
whole.
I agreed. Okay. I've never disagreed
with
that.
Okay. Fine. I mean, we just have some different views and some different beliefs and some different things. I don't think Detroit's defense is clearly better than the Washington Commanders' defense. They asked the Commanders to do more.
You go line up their personnel against our personnel. They're way better defensively, in my opinion.
I mean, they
Aleem McNeil, DJ Reed are both better than Daron Payne.
Okay.
So, and remember, about Aleem McNeil last year?
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Was that last year?
Yeah.
Seriously, donkey of the year. I am a dumbass. Well, Matt's not here to clip that off.
151, Team 980. All right,
but
I promise.
But you agree what I'm saying. Their personnel is better on defense.
Yes. Yeah. And Brian Branch is a
Kirby
better
safety. Joseph, Brian Branch are better than all the safeties we got.
Fine. I'm not arguing
Carlton
that.
Davis is better than
this defense. The Washington defense, I believe, is asked to do a little bit more than the Detroit defense.
I don't know where you're getting that from.
From feel from what I've seen, and they're in more blowout games.
Detach your surgically attached
pom-poms. All right. We will get to the calls. 301-230-0980. We're having some healthy debates in terms of where the Commanders fit in the NFC and in the overall structure, the hierarchy of the NFL, and then also where Marshawn Lattimore helps them the most. Is it as a number one lockdown corner? Is it in the ability to stop the run better? 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, rounding out our number one right here. On the Team 980, we will squeeze in a quick call here so we can get the party started on the phones. Just be patient. We will get to you. Oh. Got a lot to say. There's a lot of radio shows that don't have a lot to say. We have a lot to say. Very different. Okay? Let's go to Bobby in Damascus. Chris, you're going to have to punch him up here because we have the worst system in the world here. Hello, Bobby. How are you?
Hello, Bobby. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Bob?
Bobby, what's up, bro?
What's up, Bob? Hey, well, to get back to y'all's argument about, you know, why they drafted a cornerback. They drafted a cornerback to cover people. But both of you all are right. They're going to benefit from the fact that they can do more in the defense. You know, and, you know, Lattimore is a great run-stopping cornerback also. So, you know, you got a double plus there. But, you know, it's like, you know, saying, hey, I'm going to draft a running back to loosen up the passing game. Yes, it does work. But, you know, that's not why you're drafting a running back.
Right.
You know, you're doing it for different reasons.
Right.
But both of you all are basically right. But the reason that we got him is because we didn't have anybody that could lock down anybody that was any
fit. And I don't think I've ever, yeah. I don't think anyone's ever disputed why they got him. They got him because he's a corner that can cover elite wide receivers. All I have continued to say is that the biggest area of impact where you'll see it right away, the biggest area impact where I think you'll see it right away is their ability to play a stacked box more because of him being trustworthy on the perimeter.
Bobby, can you turn down your radio there for a second? It's driving us crazy.
I don't have it on. I agree with you. I agree with you that it's going to be the biggest thing, the major impact, that they're going to be able to play more different defenses. But our defense hadn't shown that we can stop anybody in the run that was any good.
They've stopped people at times. What they haven't done is completely blanketed them for an entire game.
But Chris, I don't know why.
Yeah, and that goes back to that Bears game against DeAndre Swift.
Why do you keep bringing up they haven't done it at times? They've done it at times.
Hang on. We got two people talking at the same time. All right. Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you for getting in.
Take care.
Go quickly. You're saying I'm not right for pointing out at times they stop teams.
I'm not saying that you're not right. This is not an argument. This is not a debate.
Well, you're just saying that because they allowed a 56-yard touchdown run to DeAndre Swift, one play, one big gash, that Chris, overshadows what they did throughout the entire game. I'm just trying to clarify what you're trying to get at.
You're talking about one specific game. I'm talking about the run defense as a whole.
Yeah, as a whole, it hasn't been good enough. Right, as a whole, it hasn't been good enough.
Anywhere near good enough.
I'll tell you why it's not as big of a problem. Yeah, on the other side.
So not being able to stop the run is not a big problem?
I said as big of a problem on the other side of 2 o'clock right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.